is Prince Andrew facing humiliation at a historic Commons debate. This is a pincer movement from Parliament and Buckingham Palace to strip him of his dukedom, the Dukedom of York, of course, and banish him from his 30-room mansion, or as Chris Philp called it earlier on, a small palace. I'm not sure what a small palace is, but anyway. MPs are set to discuss Andrew's future, defying years of convention that usually prevents politicians criticising the royal family. Well, one politician, or former politician, certainly, who has criticised the royal family on many occasions and is about to again, is Norman Baker, former Home Office Minister, former Liberal Democrat MP and author of And What Do You Do? What the Royal Family Don't Want You to Know. Norman, thank you for joining me on the programme this afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Peter.
Is it right that the your party, the Liberal Democrats, or your former party perhaps, are debating this in Parliament? Is this something that parliamentarians should be spending time doing? We've heard about all sorts of big issues, human rights issues, you know, police issues this week, the rape gangs inquiry. Is this what parliamentary time should be used to do you think?
Well, it's not one or the other, to be honest with you. I mean, the Parliament has a habit of finishing quite early, and the MPs being sent home when there's no more business. So there's plenty of time in Parliament to debate a whole range of issues, including the ones you've highlighted at the top of your programme. But the reality is that the royal family has not been subject to proper accountability, it's not been subject to parliamentary scrutiny, it's been largely exempt from the Freedom of Information Act, and the consequence of that is that the royal family has become rather arrogant and out of touch, I'm afraid, on this issue in particular, but other issues as well, including finance, which I set out in my book. And we need to make sure that the royal family in this country is held to account in the same way as royal families are all across Europe.
And how do we do that? What is, I mean, you mentioned the Freedom of Information Act, you've asked, you mentioned other things. I mean, we do have bits of information that come into the public domain. I know you pore over them on an annual basis, Norman, but what should we have? What should be absolutely clear? What's the level of transparency we should have?
Well, first of all, MPs, when they're elected, have to take an oath to an unelected person, namely the King, and not just the King, but his heirs and successors, which, by the way, includes Prince Andrew, who is number 8 in line to the throne, excuse me, and Prince Harry as well. That's a nonsense. And in other European monarchies, the King or Queen takes an oath to Parliament, to the democratic institutions. We've got the wrong way around. We've still got an imperial monarchy like the Russian Tsar or the Kaiser in Germany. It used to be 100 years ago. That's where we are. So we need to change all that. Then we need to make sure that the Freedom of Information Act applies to this public sector body, the monarchy, as it does to any others. And I was given that assurance as an MP in 2000 that they would apply that way. Well, what's happened ever since then is the royal family has been lobbying the government to exempt them from information, and particularly so after the publication of the so-called spider letters from Charles, which revealed he was, as Prince of Wales, conducting political manoeuvres behind the scenes quite improperly, considering his role. That needs to be looked into. Then we need to make sure that the House of Commons conventions, which largely make it very difficult for MPs to raise royal matters, are swept aside. And then we have to make sure that the House of Commons looks into the finances of the royal family in a way that hasn't done for quite a long time, because they are extortionate in terms of how much money they take from the public purse.
Yes, Norman, I think a lot of people will agree with that. What do you think should happen to Prince Andrew specifically?
Well, Prince Andrew needs to be subject to proper investigation by the police for allegations made by Virginia Giuffre. Because
should it be the American police? Sorry to interrupt you. Should it be the American police, the British police? Who should look into it? Both of them?
It should be both.
Okay.
It should be both because
okay.
There are allegations of improper behaviour in both areas, both
yes.
America and Britain. And in 2015, when she made her complaint to the Metropolitan Police policy was to believe victims. This is Me Too, remember all that?
Yep.
To believe victims. Well, they didn't believe her. They shut the case down. And they shut it down twice more subsequently. So Prince Andrew ought to be interviewed, in my view, under caution, by the Metropolitan Police. As far as Royal Lodge is concerned, it's an affront to the taxpayer that we are subsidising him being in Royal Lodge on a peppercorn rent. And by the way, not just him, Prince Edward as well has the same arrangement in his house. Why should one of the richest people in the country, the richest family in the country, have peppercorn rent for massive mansions? It's an insult.
I mean, is this just not coming from your position of being against the royal family in general, or some of it is coming perhaps from your position, which is a perfectly legitimate position to be a Republican and to say that the royal family shouldn't exist? I mean, is there any version of the royal family that would exist with any level of transparency that you would be happy with, Norman? I think
yes,
it's perfectly legitimate, by the way, to ask questions of Prince Andrew. I'm not saying for a second that it's not.
Yeah. No, no, thank you. Well, I mean, look, I've got my new book coming out this month, which is Royal Mint National Debt, and that goes into the finances in great detail. And it doesn't actually call for a republic. You know, I'm not personally trying to make the case for a republic, although many people do make a case with some validity. What I'm doing is saying, if you want a monarchy, this is the kind of monarchy we ought to have in a grown-up democracy, the kind of monarchy we have in other European areas like Belgium or Holland or Sweden or Norway or Denmark. Those monarchies are totally different, and they're much more, they're much cheaper apart from anything else. Our monarchy is 10 times at least more expensive than any other monarchy in Europe, with £500 million a year, roughly, to build. The next nearest is the Netherlands at £46 million.
I mean, that is a really shocking statistic. Why is it so expensive? Is it because it's so extensive? Is it because of historical reasons? Tell us why it's so expensive.
Well, it's partly historical reasons. Bear in mind, the monarchy was bankrupt in 1760 when the Crown Estate was effectively formed, which is a public body, not a royal body. And since then, what's happened is the royal family's been exempt from a whole range of taxation arrangements that apply to everybody else. They don't pay inheritance tax. When the Queen died, for example, the so-called private estate, the Duchy of Cornwall and Duchy of Lancaster, are exempt from taxes that apply to genuine private estates, capital gains tax and that sort of thing. And then, of course, we've had the royal family over many decades pleading poverty to the government of the day, getting an upturn in our finances. And actually, it's not necessary. Just one stat, if I can, with you. One is in 2011, the civil list, that was the last year we had a civil list under the old system, was 7.9 million a year grant for the royal family, 7.9 million. This year, the replacement sovereign grant, 132.1 million in just 14 years. That's a massive increase. At the same time, it's hard-working families in this country can't afford to heat their houses or pay for food bills.
When the Chancellor Rachel Reeves looks at the budget next month, what should she do to the royal family's sovereign grant? Is that something that she will be considering within the budget, presumably? And what should she do with that?
Well, I don't know if she'll consider it, but there's a five-year review which is due to take place next year into the sovereign grant. And quite clearly what needs to happen is it needs to be cut drastically. Mm-hmm. You know, Prince Charles, as he was then, said when he became king he would have a slimmed-down monarchy. Well, his idea of a slimmed-down monarchy is fewer people on the Buckingham Palace balcony. A slimmed-down monarchy only makes sense if you have a slimmed-down bill, and there's no indication the royal family wants that. So if the royal family won't sort themselves out, then the parliamentary authorities, both the Chancellor and the relevant committees, the Treasury Select Committee and so on, should make sure they do it. And we need to make sure the royal family is, if you want a royal family, has to be in line with other European families, which cost far less than ours does.
Do you believe the royal family should have any role to play in our country?
I think it's difficult to justify philosophically having unelected people, because you could end up with someone who's diligent, like Queen Elizabeth II was diligent in her job, or someone who was basically a Nazi in terms of Edward VIII. So, you know, it's a hodgepodge of arrangement to rely on an hereditary principle. But, personally, if we had a modern royal family which sorted itself out, I could live with that.
Okay, Norman, thank you. Just before you go, actually, your new book, tell us what it's called,
It's called Royal Mint National Debt, which goes into all the finances, and of course it has a lot about Andrew's finances, including material which hasn't yet come out, I might say, and that's out probably in about November the 15th.
And who is it published by?
Bite Back.
I am really sorry, Norman, that, but for editorial reasons and to avoid an Ofcom complaint, I have got to mention that I am a Bite Back author as well, and my book is called Political Animals. It's out at the moment, like Norman's. You can buy it from the Bite Back website or indeed on Amazon or at your local bookshop. Just to avoid an Ofcom complaint, just to keep us both out of trouble, Norman, okay. I should mention my book, Political Animals, published by Bite Back, as is Norman Baker's Royal Mint National Debt, The Shocking Truth About the Royals' Finances. Norman, thank you. That's Norman Baker there, the author and also former Home Office Minister as well. He was a Liberal Democrat MP for many years as well, former Transport Minister as well.